Welcome, guys. It's really good to be back. I'm sorry I missed you last week. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? How are you? Thanks. Appreciate it. You missed me?
Yes.
Yes.
I miss you most.
I know. It's been a long-ish time. Not super long. Not super long. But long enough, right? Is this just one page? Thanks. All right, so we've been here for, what, 5 weeks now? That's cool. Okay. That's what okay, whatever. It says five. We're here 5 weeks. We've got three left, yeah? And then right after that, we start Sundays again? Right?
Cool.
Yeah. Super excited. I'm super excited. All right, so last week I missed, but I listened, sort of-ish. We were at the pool, so kind of hard to hear. But we attempted to pay attention. The week before that, let's see, what was last week's theme? I was going to read it. The Bible? The Bible. Awesome. Now I remember. Thank you. This week, true spirituality. I don't know if you noticed, but I feel like every week sort of like compounds with the last, and they're kind of, they kind of all make sense if you hold them together. This week is true spirituality, and so well, the past weeks leading up to this one, if you can kind of remember back, might help you kind of grasp a little bit more. The last time I spoke was, there are a couple of points that are similar because I remember I spoke on the Trinity, and we're going to talk about sort of all three of those tonight as well. But we're going to talk about spirituality and how and why it's the key to growth. So our whole concept of growth is that when you get saved, it shouldn't be the end, it should be the beginning. Okay, so we're going to look at why being saved and being with Christ and being in Christ is a beginning for you. I'm going to focus on three main points. It's what we call the three essential truths. We're going to jump right in with the first one, which is the death of Christ. The death of Christ does, well, it does a lot of things for us, but sort of the main points, probably the first and foremost, is it paid the penalty for our sin, which is one of those things that we a lot of times will like say to people who have not grown up in church, or we don't know if they know the Lord yet or not. And so we'll just say like, oh, he paid the price for your sin. And sometimes we don't even understand what that means. And I guarantee the first time someone ever hears that, they have no idea what that means. They're like, what are you talking about? How could somebody pay for something for me? Like, they don't even know, right? So what this means is that by not following God, we are removed from him. So the ultimate penalty for doing things that are not good is that we cannot spend time with God. And essentially, we cannot spend time with him forever. Like the end of all of the forevers. Okay? And so we're actually destined because we cannot remain pure and because we don't always make the right choices and because a lot of times we choose to do things that are ungodly and unholy, we are destined to continue to be without God or to not live with him. That's not what God wants at all. He's not like punishing us like, oh, this is fun. You did something wrong and now I get to be mean to you and it's cool. He wanted to be with us from the beginning. It was always his plan. That's why he made us. He wouldn't have made us if he didn't want to be around us. Okay? So, used to be when people would do bad stuff, they would find an animal that was really good, like would be really good to eat or would be really good to buy or to sell. And they would have to kill that animal to signify that they are willing to give something up in order to be closer to God. And when Christ died, he took the place of all of those sacrifices. That's why we don't have to do that anymore. Okay? So all those little sacrifices were paying a penalty. Because imagine if you were like raising sheep or, you know, raising chickens. And you picked the very, very best one to just get rid of. You're not going to sell it. You're not going to eat it. And you're like, God, I'm giving this to you. Even though this could feed my family for a week or this could pay for something that I really need. When Christ died, he died in place of us. So he chose to be, he took on sin because we were sinful. I know that's really weird. He was perfect, so he was the perfect sacrifice. Like we used to have to take a really good thing and slaughter it. Gross, right? when he did that, he kind of canceled out our fate of not being with God forever. That was our penalty. The fact that he died means that we could get to be with God one day. So that cancels the hold that sin has on our future. This is a weird kind of concept to get to grasp sometime. But everything that we do in our life and everything in our future could be ruled by sin or could not be ruled by sin. Okay, and we have to make those choices. It's almost impossible for us to make those choices well if it's our destiny. So when we don't have Christ in our life, this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but we're sort of destined to always be sinful, all right? And so at the end of our lives, when we become no more physically, our destiny is to be apart from God. And the death of Christ, since it paid our penalty, cancels that. It cancels that fate. It cancels that plan of us never being with God. It breaks the chains of sin we sing about all the time, right? And it breaks sin's power over our lives right now. Okay? It breaks sin's power over our lives right now. We're always going to have temptations. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's only a sin to indulge those temptations, which means to allow ourselves to say yes to them. Okay? So the power that sin has over our lives is to always look better than what we're supposed to do. But with the picture of Jesus as the perfect example for our lives, we have something better than what temptation is showing us. All right, so the death of Christ is one of the truths that we have to speak to. If we don't believe that Christ died, then everything else doesn't make sense at all. He can live. Like, if we don't believe that he died as our penalty, nothing else works. Nothing else works. Okay? The next thing we need to believe is that he was resurrected. All right? Jay always says, don't leave him in the grave. He's not there anymore, okay? The resurrection of Christ does a lot for us. You don't just come back from the dead. That doesn't happen every day. When you're dead. Dead forever, dead, period. And he proved to us that that does not have to be true. He completely conquered and slayed death. So that what that does is it gives us hope for our future. I say that it gives us hope for a life that's anointed in service through Christ. Because what we're supposed to do when we have Christ with us or when we believe what his truth is to attempt to live like him, to spread his word, and to serve others the way that he would have done. Okay? If he had not been resurrected, we wouldn't have that hope. We would be like, oh my gosh, he died. It just would have been sadness all the time. And when he did die, there was nothing but sadness. It wasn't until he was resurrected people started to rejoice. Okay? If we go to Romans 6, I'm going to bring up Romans 6:11. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. All right? That's where our new life starts. You know, like you always hear when somebody's really mad at someone else, they go, oh, they're dead to me. All right? Sin, like it says that we are dead to sin. What it means is that sin should be dead to us. We're not ruled by that anymore because we have a stronger power holding us back from it. There are always going to be choices to make that we could make the right or the wrong choice. It's a lot easier to make the right choice when you have hope, right? Have you ever chosen something that will bring penalty because you think, if I get in trouble, it's not that bad? It's a lot easier to make the right choice when you know that the good outweighs the bad. When you know that making the right choice is easier because you're actually being led by Christ. Let's see. Being alive in Jesus guarantees our life with God. So instead of being separated forever, this is a promise. It's a covenant. It's more than a contract. It's more than some like pinky swear. It's a covenant which cannot be broken. That if we believe this truth, we will be with God instead of being separate from him forever. Okay? So like Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected, it's the same thing for us. One day we will die, probably, and be buried, and eventually we will be resurrected to be with God forever. But in this life, in this physical life right now, we can live that way, and we're supposed to. okay? If you have decided to follow Jesus through your life and have decided to believe that he is your Savior, and your life right now doesn't look any different than before you made that choice, that is an issue. I'm not saying like, okay, it's okay if you were never like a terrible, ridiculous person before. If you always kind of led a pretty good life and then you accepted Jesus, but you still don't feel any different, this is something that we need to work on. There's a hope that you should be filled with and a part of, okay? Your new life in Christ should be led by him with purpose. So if you're, you know, looking for your purpose or waiting for your purpose, this is something that we can do together. That's what this is for. That's what this whole thing is for. All right, so in small groups tonight, that's going to be one of the things that we talk about, is what our new life is supposed to be like and how to track it down. Do we go to Romans 6:4? No, Romans 6:4 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Exactly the same. Jesus was raised by God, like actually, and we can be too. Spiritually and then physically, but right now in our lives, we need to be living a new life. Our third spiritual truth is the Spirit of Christ. A few weeks ago, I mentioned this before, we talked about it a lot. Jesus left his spirit. When somebody can't like go to your graduation or your birthday party, they said, oh, I'll be there in spirit. You know, it means think of me as if I'm there. Jesus said, I'm sending you my spirit so that I can be there. You don't see me, but remember that I'm there. This is real. Think of me as if I'm there. We know that he ascended into heaven. That's awesome. That's his place. He's supposed to be with God. He's the Son of God, okay? But we're sons of and daughters of God too. And Jesus didn't want to be without us. And so he sent his spirit. Think of him as if he is here every day of your life. This is what helps us to overcome those temptations. This is what helps us to make those choices. This is what gives us that new life every single day. It's not the end, it's the beginning because of the Spirit of Christ. All in all, spirituality, I guess the definition of spirituality, it takes place when we understand our identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So how do we come to play into that? And how do we live out the rest of our life as if we are actually victorious? Okay? You have to allow the Spirit to take control of your life, which means listening in those hard spots when you're like, oh, I feel like I shouldn't really be doing this, or maybe I need to read the Bible a little bit more instead of watching a 13th episode of Gilmore Girls. I should probably be working on my Bible study, or, you know, I need to be able to get to church on Wednesday instead of hanging out with these people all the time. Maybe we'll bring them with us so that we can get there every single day. A couple of chapters to go through, Romans chapter 6 all the way through chapter 8. It's a lot of reading. It's three whole chapters. We're not going to go over them today. We already looked at one of the verses, but one that I want to look at is it's Romans 6:5. I'll just read it real quick. If we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin can be done away with, that we are no longer slaves to sin. Okay, that's a big deal. So he died, he was resurrected, he left his spirit. This is an equation, you guys, it's a formula. Our spirituality is based on us believing each of those things and doing our best to understand what they mean for us. Okay? You guys are like at the age where you're actually having to put into play, like, there's an equal sign and everything over here has to match everything over here. And if you do anything to this, you have to do something over here. Everybody love math? Okay. Just the homeschooled kids. Okay. Yeah. Our spirituality doesn't add up if the other stuff doesn't. if you take anything out, if he didn't die, if he wasn't resurrected, if he didn't leave a hint for us, a guide, we cannot be spiritual. Our spirituality cannot increase, our spiritual life cannot get healthier, and we cannot grow as Christians if we don't take the three basic truths. We're going to look at Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, this one, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is talking about our life right here on earth and how we have to be led by Christ. Our connection point before we break up is to live out the victory over sin. We should be hopeful that we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. We can only be hopeful that we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore if we're not reminded daily by the Spirit. We're not going to be reminded daily by the Spirit if we don't pursue Him. All right? We'll break up in a minute. Do we need to pray? All right. Father God, thank you for bringing us together again. As the summer kind of comes to a close and we're all getting ready to go back to school, and as our lives begin to pick up a little more, and maybe we're getting a little anxious, or maybe we're feeling bogged down by the closing out of the season, maybe we're just excited to be here, period. I ask that you'll guide our talks tonight in the sense that we are moving forward with a part of our lives that always brings changes and always brings a little bit of nerves and a little bit of stress, at least a little bit. And as we break out this evening into our groups, and then as we leave tonight to go home and start our lives again tomorrow, I beg that you'll just go with us and remind us every single day that we do have a new life. Every time the sun comes up, your mercies are new, and that we do have a choice to live for you every day of our lives, and that you would remind us, and that you would speak to us through your word tonight, and that you would allow us to mentor and be mentored by each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.